Hello and a warm welcome to Mark Langdon's Bets Club, your one-stop shop for football betting insight. Plenty to get through once more. Premier League previews, EFL previews, and a look ahead to the outright markets in the European competitions as well. It's Jack Reeve, and as always, joined alongside Mark Langdon. Mark, you're in the office. Good to see.
I am, yeah. Yeah, you're not. Not as good to see, but hopefully you've been getting your hybrid numbers up for the month anyway. Yeah, we've got Death Night out tonight. We're going to Fair Game at Canary Wharf. It's all them sort of retro fair sort of games that you play. So a competitive element for the Racing Post Sport team. I fancy myself on the Donkey Derby. So
there we go. I was going to say, what is it, sort of like hook a duck and things like that?
Exactly. You know, the ones where you have to get like the hammer and sort of the sort of monster heads pop up and you kind of hit them back down. And Donkey Derby. Quite a few others. Hopefully it'll be a good night.
Your Christmas party was sort of like virtual pigeon shooting, wasn't it? Who was the winner of that in the end?
It was close between Matthew Ireland and Phil Aegis. Two of the more competitive members of the desk, I think it has to be said.
What was your shoot like?
Oh no, I was down the bottom. Me and the Essex Edge, Andrew Wilshire, were out of the washing, unfortunately.
Mark, let's jump straight into the action. We've got a lot to get through. We'll have your outright selections for the European competitions at the end of the show as well. So stick around for that. We might as well just jump in straight to the Premier League action. It's our big game, West Ham against Arsenal. This one's Sunday at 2 o'clock. West Ham 5-1, 10-3 the draw, 8-15 Arsenal. A huge win for Arsenal last week, Mark. They looked good.
They did, yeah. Definitely deserved the victory. Obviously, sort of some messy goals scored at both ends, really. But over the course of the 90 minutes, they were the better side. Fully deserved to go in ahead at the break. Obviously, had that setback. And then a wobble for 5-10 minutes after half-time. But I think by the end, that they fully deserved the victory. Always hard to know, isn't it? Did they play well? Did Liverpool not play well? Probably a combination of the two. And Liverpool were unable to be at their best because Arsenal smothered them. And I'm also not for the celebration police either. I mean, you know, are you not allowed to celebrate winning a game like that? It really does annoy me when your Carragers and your Neville sort of think you should get down the tunnel. I mean, come on.
I couldn't quite work out the hysteria with Odegaard and the photographer.
It was a bit of fun, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, it's really weird. I mean, you know, when Liverpool win a game, Jurgen Klopp gives it the big one to the crowd, and rightly so. And it's, you know, it's celebrated. It's part of success. That you've paid, you know, a Premier League ticket would cost, what, I don't know, for a home fan, I mean, in London, probably between 60 and 100 quid for a game like that. Well, not allowed to celebrate with the supporters. I mean, you know, only one team can win the league. So what we're saying is that none of the matches, the other 37 games, they don't matter really, you know, get down the tunnel. I mean, it's really, I find it quite boring really, that's the attitude that some people take. I mean, it's just fun.
Absolutely. Good to get you in a fired up mood today, Mark. A sense of some anger in the blood today.
I've been at ice for a couple of days, so it's good to be talking to normal people.
I must admit, you know, West Ham, though, they are in poor form. I think it's without winning six. I saw the price. I thought that, you know, I haven't seen West Ham go off that big at home for a while, I don't think, unless, of course, against Manchester City or someone.
No, I mean, I think that, you know, West Ham are a funny team because they are capable of winning. They won the reverse game, didn't they, against Arsenal, and that they've won at Spurs, and they are capable of making life awkward for big teams. Arsenal sort of, you know, in that sort of title run in last season, this was one of the big flops for them, wasn't it? If you remember, they were well in control of the game, gave away a real bad goal, and then Saka missed a penalty, and you know, they were in cruise control at one stage, should have won, and then didn't put West Ham away and were then made to pay the price. You know that, generally speaking, they're a well-organised team. Probably fell apart a bit at Old Trafford last week. There were some bad goals conceded there. But, you know, generally, you know what you're going to get from a David Moyes side. Good at set pieces. You know, on the counter-attack with Bowen, Kudos is back. Gives them, you know, the ability to cause problems. I always think, particularly for the kind of London teams, this is one of the harder away games in the calendar, sort of outside of the obvious ones, because fans are up for it. And, you know, it's just an awkward derby game for, always will be, for Arsenal, for Chelsea and for Tottenham, really, this game.
The argument around Arsenal still remains that they're probably without that, you know, clinical striker up front. Are you in agreement with that?
Not to the extent that other people are, because I think if you take, say, you take Havertz or Jesus out of the Arsenal starting 11, they then playing a different way that maybe means they don't create the opportunities in the first place. You know, Havertz will drop deep and can cause problems in that position. Jesus, very good in wide areas. You know, he's one of the kind of the best wide forwards around. He's never going to be that golden boot Premier League sort of goal scorer. But if you bring in Ivan Toney, as an example, do Arsenal then lose something in their overall play that means they're, you know, not quite as fluid in midfield and through the forward positions and might not even create as many chances as they do? So I never think it's as simple as just, you know, a team misses chances, bring in a centre-forward that scores goals. And, you know, how many times have Chelsea thought that they bought the final piece in the jigsaw? Lukaku, do you remember Lukaku was that person, wasn't he, for Chelsea? And it's happened for other teams as well. Now, I'm not saying if they don't go out and buy absolute top-level Osimhen, you know, that you can't be a better team, because maybe you can. But I never think it's just as simple as, you know, plugging in a player and all of a sudden, you know, you solve your issues. I think that Jesus does a really good job for Arsenal. Havertz, less so, I would say, but still is somebody that is effective at what he does. And so, yeah, I'm not as down on Arsenal. I thought they played well. I thought against Nottingham Forest, I thought that the some of the criticism they got in the first half there was over the top. You know, they're very much in the title race. I don't think they will win it, but that they, you know, they've put themselves in a position to challenge. And, you know, I think if you do that, then you're having a good enough season.
Absolutely. With all of that being said, what's the bet for this one?
I'm going to go for Arsenal to win by one goal, around about 11-4. Arsenal have won 6 league away games this season. 5 of them have been by one goal. I mentioned earlier that this is always an awkward trip for the kind of other London sides. And Arsenal have only won 2 of their last 7 games at West Ham. Problem is that Paquetar for the Hammers only got an outside chance of featuring. And I think he's such an important player to them and to their ability to get anything out of the game. And if he doesn't start or he's not fully fit, I think that West Ham are just that much more of an ordinary team when he's not there. So I mean, Arsenal can kind of edge it, and you know, just, it's one of them games always West Ham away where you win and you just take the 3 points any way you can, because it's rarely easy.
Okay, let's spin through the rest of the Premier League fixtures. Members Club is now available on the Racing Post app. All Members Club subscribers can now access premium news and tips anytime, anywhere. Plus, if you're not already a member, you'll get 50% off your first 3 months. If you haven't already subscribed yet and want to join the greatest club in racing, simply visit racingpost.com/subscribe. The early kickoff on Saturday, Manchester City against Everton, 2-11 the home side, 7-1 the draw, 12-1 Everton. Haaland back, Manchester City looking good. Oh, it's so predictable, isn't it, Mark?
They are finding their feet. I couldn't believe they were 1-0 down after sort of 44, 45 minutes against Brentford with how they played. And I sort of, the nap, wasn't it, was Man City to cover the handicap, and I was just thinking, I can't believe that this one's going to lose. And thankfully, Foden got the goal just on half time. And second half, there were 1 or 2 chances for Brentford, but it does look ominous. They are finding their range. There was one De Bruyne pass in the first half that was absolutely outrageous when he lifted it over the defender. You know that Haaland's going to come back, within the next two or three weeks and find his goal scoring touch. They've got Grealish and Doku on the bench. John Stones, been out for most of the season, so it does feel like Man City are just going to put their foot down now, and I would expect them to win this game as easy as the odds suggest. Obviously, not going to put up a 2-11 shot. I thought, in talking of the shots, I thought Rodri to have a shot on target at 4-5 might be worth a punt. He's had a shot on target in his last four Premier League games. And I mean, with Everton likely to defend deep, you are seeing Rodri making more of those forward runs and sort of shooting from the edge of the area as well.
Okay. Is that the bet?
Yeah, that's the bet. I've got a few bets for that one. That we'll save one of those for later on.
Excellent. Lots of 3 o'clock kickoffs on the Saturday this week. So for the traditionalists, you'll be delighted. Fulham against Bournemouth. We'll take a look at this one first. 11-8, Fulham 5-2, the draw 9-5. About Bournemouth, by the look of the price, it's a difficult one to split. Do you see it like that?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, Jack, I'm one of those that's absolutely delighted to see so many 3 o'clock games. It gives people a lot of time after the match to celebrate, doesn't it? So you'd be able to, I wouldn't want to annoy Carragher too much, but we'll at least have 20 seconds after the game to celebrate if our teams win. I'm going to go for over 2.5 goals at Craven Cottage. If you have a look at Fulham, in their last four games, there's been 39 shots on target in their matches. Been some absolutely end-to-end sort of stuff, really, from Fulham. I think they're one of those, and you could say the same for Bournemouth. They're two teams, really, that are two of the few teams that don't feel like that there's a huge amount of pressure, maybe, on their games. They're not going to get relegated, I want to fall. Not going to kick on for Europe. And overs has landed in 11 of Bournemouth's 13 league away games this season. So, yeah, I'm expecting quite a good game at the Cottage here.
Okay, Liverpool, Burnley up next. Six is on about the home side, 7-1, the draw 14-1. Burnley, I think there'll be disappointment amongst the Liverpool fans in the fact, I know they were kind of missing a few players, but after the performances against kind of Chelsea and a few others recently, they just looked rather sluggish.
They did. I mean, I didn't want to take anything away from Arsenal in that kind of segment where we spoke the positives about Arsenal. I think if you were Jurgen Klopp and you were trying to kind of defend the performance in your head, you'll say, well, Alexander-Arnold wasn't fully fit. He didn't last an hour, did he? Conor Bradley couldn't play. He obviously had some personal stuff gone on in the week. So that they were short at right back. I don't think Robertson's 100% yet. Either, which is why he was maybe on the bench. So Szoboszlai got injured and was unable to play. Nunez wasn't able to play the full 90 minutes. Salah was injured. So, I mean, when you put the kind of front three that they went with in the end, Jota, Gakpo, and then also Luis Diaz, it felt like about as bad a front three as Liverpool could put out, if that makes sense, really. Yeah. They were missing the two biggest threats. I think Szoboszlai, just his energy in midfield was missing. So you have a look at it and you think, well, Nunez probably going to be fit now. Alexander-Arnold's had another week to kind of get 60 minutes under his belt. And there's also the obvious thing of a complete difference in playing Burnley at home and Arsenal away. So I think we can kind of allow Liverpool that one. They won't want too many more performances like that. I'm going to go for Liverpool to win and over 3.5 goals. Six of Liverpool's last seven wins at home have featured at least four goals. And Burnley, they need to start winning games because the other teams around them playing very positively, starting to pick up points like to Luton particularly. And yeah, Fofana came in, made a difference for them, the January signings. They might be able to get a goal. If they don't, it is the sort of game where Liverpool might even be able to cover the line themselves.
Okay, seamlessly linked into the next game, Luton against Sheffield United. 8-11 Luton, 14-5 the draw, 15-4 Sheffield United. If I think if you'd have read those prices out, Mark, and said that these two sides would, Luton would be favourites after the back of the Championship season last campaign, you would have thought that everyone was mad, but Luton going along really nicely.
Yeah, they are obviously in some respects be disappointed to have drawn at Newcastle, given they were 4-2 up. But the fact they were disappointed in itself shows just how much they've really taken to the Premier League, I would say, in recent weeks. I'm not sure if they've just decided that, you know, we need to be positive. Our best chance of staying up is to win games. And if that means, you know, we lose some along the way, it's better to, you know, to be brave and bold and try and get the 3 points, that risk reward. Or whether they've actually just looked at the Premier League and decided that the teams just aren't as scary as what they maybe thought at the start of the campaign. I think they've signed well. They've obviously got goals in them now. And, you know, I think this game is a massive one for Luton, because it can be easier to play with that kind of freedom when you're not expected to win, like they would say, away to Newcastle. This is now a game, as you read out them prices, they're expected to win.
Yeah.
And it would be 3 huge points in their battle to stay up. They've got a lot of the lower teams to come at Kenilworth Road. I'm going to go for another overs bet, actually. Over 2.5 goals in this one. 9 of Luton's last 11 Premier League games have been over 2.5 goals. So there's been 24 goals in their last 5 Premier League games as well. Sheffield United, 21 goals in their last 5 matches. I mean, the less said about the, you know, the first half against Aston Villa, the better, really, as far as they were concerned. But I think Chris Wilder is a positive guy and will probably just, well, okay, we've lost it. On to the next one, a better opportunity to win. They need to play on the front foot. You can't trust them defensively, conceding way too many goals. So, yeah, I just think this might be a really good game.
I see that Rob Edwards has become somewhat of a Twitter kind of icon as well. Have you seen that?
I haven't. He's an icon in the Langdon household. Mrs. Langdon's a big fan of Rob Edwards. Yeah.
Well, I think that the female population on Twitter is suddenly all following Luton Town. So well done to them. Spurs against Brighton. Let's take a look at this one. The Spurs are marginal favourites, 4-5, 16-5. The draw 14-5 about Brighton. How's life at Tottenham at the moment, Mark? How's it all going?
It was a bit of a kick in the guts last week to concede that, was it 95th, 96th minute equaliser to Everton. And I'm not sure Spurs played amazingly well, but it looked like they'd sort of seen Everton off. There wasn't much of a threat really coming at all in the second half. So it was a blow to concede so late. The fact that Richarlison is sort of really found his feet, he's going at a goal a game. In the last 8 and 2 really well taken finishes is a big positive. They're scoring lots of goals. I think defensively they are, you know, fine. Romero, Van de Ven, they're conceding probably more goals now than earlier on in the season. I felt like they were giving up a lot of opportunities and were maybe not being punished. Now they seem to be giving up fewer opportunities that are getting punished. That's just the randomness of football. I actually think for this game that Tottenham are a fair enough price. Heung-min Son is back. You're getting sort of Pat Sarr. He wasn't able to play against Everton from the start. Maddison, another, you know, game under his belt. So I think that they get Bissouma's back as well from AFCON. So most of their players now are back. Brighton, very inconsistent team at the moment. You know, obviously had the shocker at Luton, then beat Crystal Palace. I look at that Crystal Palace form, though. I don't rate it. You know, no Eze, Elise didn't start and then only lasted a few minutes. Gay got injured early on as well. I mean, take them players out of Crystal Palace and they're, I mean, mate, might as well be a championship team without those. Lost the last 5 away. So in terms of the Premier League, Brighton, not been winning away from home. Had the draw at West Ham, but they, you know, just not a team that I can trust at the moment. And I thought that Tottenham were a fair enough price.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. The final 3 o'clock kickoff on Saturday that we'll take a look at: Wolves against Brentford, 21-20 Wolves, 13-5 the draw, 12-5 Brentford. I mean, what a job Gary O'Neill's doing at Wolves, Mark, and just seems like a really lovely bloke as well.
He does, yeah. Just how I fluffed that Brighton stat. They've lost 5 away games, not 5. In a row. But yeah, Gary O'Neill, I mean, he was giving it the old fist pumps, weren't he, at Stamford Bridge last Sunday, and rightly so. I mean, I think I was one of those that underestimated Wolves this season. I felt like there was trouble ahead. Lopetegui leaving just before the season started. Rumblings about certain players departing. Couple did. They managed to sort of retain the nucleus, I suppose, of a strong side. Now they're going along fine in the Premier League. Still in the FA Cup. We'll sort of fancy their chances now. It's a good opportunity for a team like Wolves to give that everything. In terms of this game, though, I weren't mad on the price for Wolves. So I was going to go for the draw. If you have a look at Brentford, they've had a lot of hard games recently, but they did take Wolves to extra time in the cup. And, Ivan Toney made his presence felt against Tottenham and against Manchester City. So I think with him and Mope sort of together, the defence has got more chance of standing firm in this game against Wolves than what it did, against Tottenham and Manchester City. So I'm expecting Brentford to pick up slightly, and that they need to, because they've got some really hard games on the horizon. So it feels not quite must not lose, but certainly one where Thomas Frank will be going all out to get something from the game, and they might be able to get a point.
Absolutely. Saturday, 5:30, Forest against Newcastle, 23-10, Forest 11-4 about the draw, 21-20, Newcastle. The ship seems to have steadied somewhat for Newcastle, Mark. I mean, that feels slightly strange saying after a 4-4 draw. I mean, they're fairly choppy waters, but I don't know, the mood around the place seems to be a little bit better, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I think it was heading in the right direction. He's like someone like Harvey Barnes, he's back, and scoring, and they are getting players returning from injury. They've only won two away games though in the Premier League, and
is that right? Wow.
Yeah, and if you have a look at the sort of prices, I mean, that makes me nervous about backing them to win at the City Ground, where we know that Nottingham Forest, since their return to the Premier League, have made it awkward for a number of teams, and taken some decent scalps. So wasn't going to go for a Forest win, but I felt the draw was sort of slightly overpriced, given that Newcastle have had their troubles on the road this season. I do think from Newcastle's point of view now, like, the big European prize has probably gone away for them. I think for them now, it's all about the FA Cup, isn't it? How can they make an impression in that one? And that performance against Luton just wasn't good enough. Puts me off backing them to win this game.
Do you think Mr. Howe will still be the manager come next season?
I think he'll start next season as their Newcastle manager. Wouldn't be amazed if he didn't end it, though. He's well liked, obviously, on Tyneside. There will come a point at which I feel like maybe the owners will want a kind of bigger name if he's not continually taking them forward.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, let's move on to the 4:30 game on the Sunday. We've already previewed the early kickoff on Sunday, just the two games. This Aston Villa against Manchester United, 23-20. Villa 11-4 the draw, 21-10 Manchester United. Villa, again, a side that kind of struggling to kind of weigh up where they're at the moment, Mark.
Yeah, I mean, knocked out the FA Cup, very disappointing circumstances on Wednesday night. Chelsea obviously put in probably a seasonal best performance, but, I think from Aston Villa's point of view, wasn't good enough from them. They give Sheffield United a good old seeing to on the weekend before, but then they've also probably not at their, not in a real purple patch, I think it's fair to say. However, I think Unai Emery will be demanding a response from what happened against Chelsea. I think over the course of this season, they've been a better team than Manchester United. And if you take it over the whole campaign, that's why I think that Aston Villa are still worth a bet here to beat Manchester United. I wasn't surprised that United beat West Ham last week. We did put up United, and I think that had more to do with maybe West Ham's flaws. But even in that game, United weren't fantastic. It didn't feel like a 3-0 match to me. And Lisandro Martinez has got injured again. He's a very important player to them, both in terms of the defence and the way that he brings the ball out. And I just think that this is a hard away game for United, and so I'll go for Aston Villa.
Okay, Monday night football, Crystal Palace against Chelsea, 16-5 Palace, 14-5 the draw, 5-6 Chelsea. You mentioned that a seasonal best for Chelsea, Mark. I mean, Roy Hodgson must be under serious trouble now.
Yeah. I mean, these are first and second in the sack race market, Roy Hodgson and Maurizio Pochettino. And yeah, Chelsea, for all that they were great in the FA Cup, you know, a team like Chelsea can't be where they are in the Premier League and the manager not be under pressure. So I think it's an important game for both managers, both sets of players. And I think that Chelsea will win. I'm struggling to see how Hodgson turns this one around. Yeah. We've got Elise out injured at the moment. Eze, not sure on his status. Gaye got injured, as I mentioned earlier, against Brighton. Without Elise and Eze, Even when one of them's playing, Palace are not quite at it. When they're both out, I think I referenced it earlier, they're like a championship team. Yeah, I think this is a really good opportunity for Chelsea to put in another sort of away win. And I'm never quite sure if things are as bad as what they look like in the league table for Chelsea, because their performances don't suggest like they're on the verge of kind of getting all of these hidings. So at some stage, you feel like they will put a run together. Maybe that's the confidence boost they needed against Villa.
Okay. Right, let's speak to Dan Childs for all things EFL. If you want some free football bets this season, we've got you covered. Simply head to racingpost.com/freebets and there you'll find over £200 worth of them for you to use this season. That's racingpost.com/freebets. Yeah, great to be joined once again by Dan Childs to catch up on all things EFL. We always like to have a team in focus, really dial into someone to see how they're getting on. We shall do that with Swindon this week. Dan, what's going on there at the moment?
Yeah, I mean, Swindon, I mean, they've had a few sort of issues off the pitch with sort of outstanding bills that they've had problems paying and they've still got issues in the transfer window. They can't pay any fees at the moment for players. But despite that, they have actually, you know, done some decent recruitment in January, brought in seven or eight new players, and they're starting to make an impact on the pitch. A new manager as well, Gavin Gunning, who's been interim manager there, or sort of caretaker manager twice before, did well in short spells, took sort of 7 points from three games over those two short spells, and they put him in charge at the end of the season this time. And under Mike Flynn, they were struggling big time. They were on a really poor run. Swindon lost six of their last eight games under him. But since Gunning's gone in there, they've had one win and one defeat. But the performances have been pretty good. 2-0 win at home to Bradford. 2-1 loss last weekend away to Newport. But Newport have been in great form. You look at the shot stats for that game. Swindon won the shot stats 17-11 away at Newport, which is never an easy game. So, and these new signings I'm talking about, there was six of them were involved in that match at Newport, and they're only going to get better as they get more exposure and game time. People like Harry McCurdy, who's been at Swindon before, he's going to, you know, he should settle quicker than most. Dawson Devoy, attacking midfielder coming from MK Dons, decent player for the level as well. Aaron Drinnen, who's coming on loan from Leighton Orient. That's sort of a flavour of the, you know, the decent quality players for that level that they've brought in, despite the issues we've not been able to pay any fees out. So for me, Swindon, they're only actually 7 points off the playoffs, even though they're 17th in the league. It's so congested in League Two. And Gunning, he's a positive character. He's actually said straight away when he come on, we're going for the playoffs. I'm not so sure they'll make that, but I do think they'll be closer at the end of the season than they are now. So a team to look out for over the rest of the season.
Oh, great stuff. We love a dreamer as a head coach. That's great to see. Right, three selections for this weekend, Dan, across the divisions. Who are we starting with?
Going to start off with Stoke. Draw no bets, probably the way to go, away to Blackburn. 11, a little bit of odds against for Stoke at the moment. I think it's a decent bet. We need to mention at this stage that it does look like John Dale Thomason is on the verge of leaving Blackburn. You know, widely reported that he's going to be exiting. John Eustace at the moment seems to be the favourite to replace him, which wouldn't be a bad replacement. But then you've got a sort of question as well. the style of play, because Thomason, it's a very much an attacking, you know, passing style. Eustace's style is quite different to that. So how that's going to go, we'll have to wait and see. But they've certainly been in poor form, Blackburn, for a while. Lost 8 of their last 11 league games, been tumbling down the table. And this is quite a big game, actually, because it's getting tight at the bottom with QPR improving. I mean, there's a whole bunch of teams that are in danger of being caught if QPR keep doing well. You've got Blackburn at the moment, 5 points above the relegation zone, Stoke 4 points above. So they're both teams at risk. I actually think Stoke are at less risk than Blackburn. They had improved initially under Stephen Schumacher, who I rate as a manager when he went in there. They've had three defeats in a row more recently, but you drill down into them games. The game away to Sunderland, they lost 3-1. They were on top and created a lot of good chances for large parts of that game. The home game against Birmingham, the 2-1 loss there, they were really unlucky looking at the reports and the shot stats there. Now, last week was the heavy defeat. They lost 5-0 at home to Leicester. But it's one of them games when you're chasing a game, and Schumacher's an attacking manager, when you're chasing against Leicester, who are probably the best team in the division, certainly the best counter-attacking team in the division, it's easy for it to get out of hand. I wouldn't say that. I still think Stoke at the moment are probably, you know, in better shape, I would say, than Blackburn. You know, if you look at their form over the last sort of couple of months, and for me, they're the more likely winners. So therefore, draw no bet looks a good bet to me.
Yeah, keep your eye out on the relegation scrap down in the Championship. It's getting very interesting. Stoke, draw no bet, the first selection for Dan. Who's up next?
Yeah, I'll stick with the Championship. Going to go with, I went for Hull last week to win at home to Millwall. Got, you know, a 1-0 win. It wasn't the most spectacular performance.
Win's a win, Dan. Win's a win.
A win's a win. Got the job done. I think they're going to be better as time goes on with the new signings bedding in there. They're at home to Swansea this weekend. Again, you know, odds on 8 to 11. I think that's a perfectly reasonable price. I mean, Hull won their last two games. Away to Sunderland, got a 1-0 win. Another 1-0, as I mentioned, against Millwall. I think they're going to get better and better with the quality that they've brought in. You look at the guys on loan, Ryan Giles, Anas Sarouri, Fabio Carvalho from Liverpool. I mean, it's just such good talent. And last weekend, I mentioned Jaden Philogene could come back from injury. He did come back, got the winning goal against Millwall. So that's, you know, they're really putting they've got the ability to put a really strong attacking lineup out at the moment at Hull. Swansea seem to be going the other way. They're another one of these bunch of teams that I mentioned could get sucked into the relegation issue. Luke Williams gone in there as manager, did a very good job over a few years at Notts County, but this is a big step up. He has coached at Swansea before, so he knows the club, but it hasn't started well for him. He's only got 1 point from four league games at the moment. Confidence probably going to be low. They're committed to a very much an ultra sort of possession-based passing style under Luke Williams. At the moment, with the confidence low and playing away to, you know, I mentioned such a strong team like Hull, I think they're going to struggle. So Hull for me to win this one.
Okay, down two down, one to go. Who's third and final?
They'll finish off in League One with Bolton to win away to Northampton. Just a straight win at a shade of odds on. Bolton had the frustration in the week of their game at Cambridge was abandoned. Heavy rain after only 9 minutes. So that was a difficult one for them to take. But they're well placed in the division. Only 5 points off of leaders Portsmouth. Got three games in hand. So when you look at, you know, the rate they're picking points up, you could argue they're probably the favourites, you know, not just to go up, but to win League One. You know, very strong team, strong squad under that Ian Evatt's built there. And I think it's a good time to play Northampton. Northampton won promotion last year. They're 11th, which is really good going, having come up from League Two. But they have got, injuries have been piling up the last couple of weeks. The last two results, lost 2-0 at home to Shrewsbury, who have been struggling. Did get a new manager in Hurst, which helped there. And then they lost 4-1 away to Portsmouth, despite playing the last 40 minutes of that game at Fratton Park against 10 men. So the last couple of performances, really poor for Northampton. Good time for Bolton to go there. Shade of odds on, go with Bolton.
Okay, Dan, thank you very much as always.
You're welcome, Jack.
Well, before we get Mark's best bets for this weekend, probably a good opportunity to reevaluate where we're at in terms of the Champions League, Europa League, Europa Conference League, in terms of the outright markets. Mark, we shall start with the Champions League. Let's have a look at where we are at. Manchester City, the favourites, around about 9-4. Bayern Munich, 4s. Real Madrid, 11-2. Arsenal, the same price. PSG, 12s. Milan, 16s. Bigger the rest. Manchester City favourites for obvious reasons. Are you happy with the price that they are?
I am. Yeah. I mean, if you said to me, do you want to back Man City or lay Man City at 9-4, I'd say I'd rather back them all day long. Yeah, I think they're the best team around. They've got Copenhagen in the last 16. I don't see kind of I don't see any massive dangers over two legs. I just think that they're so strong. And then you look at the nearest challenges. Real Madrid have had a lot of injuries this season. Man City just put them in their place last year. And I don't think they've got Bellingham now at Real Madrid. So you could argue that they're a slightly better side, but I struggle to see them beating Man City over two legs. Bayern, not even top of the Bundesliga. Serge Gnabry, Kingsley Coman, among those injured. Alphonso Davies also picked up an injury. I mean, they are playing Eric Dier at the moment at centre-half, you know. And then you're into Arsenal, a team that I respect. But if you're asking, you know, would you fancy them or Man City? I mean, it would definitely be Manchester City. You referenced them as Milan. I think the Inter fans would be furious that you refer to them as Milan rather than Inter. They might be the threats. I mean, they were finalists last year. The problem with them is they've got a hard game against Atletico Madrid in the last 16. But they look a very solid team to me. Quality up front with Lautaro Martinez and Marcus Thuram. PSG were the other ones. They were our tip at the start. Not giving up completely on them because they got Real Sociedad in the last 16, and that tie looks easier now than it did when the draw was made. I suppose, you know, I mean, at the price, you're still hopeful of them getting a run. But I think if they get Man City, I think they'll go out. But if they can avoid Man City, they might put up a fight. But I'm perfectly happy to back Man City at 9-4. You don't want to be backing sort of short prices in August because you've got so long to wait, but you know, by the time it starts, you'll be in the middle of February. It feels like not as long to wait, if you know what I mean, to back a 9-4 shot. And I think they're the best team around and are going to be very difficult to stop.
Absolutely. Well, we can add Inter Milan fans as the ones we've offended on this show at some point as well. Okay, well, so that's the champion.
Ipswich ones have been in touch previously, they're not happy with your digging them out.
I'm okay with that.
Now the producer supports Norwich as well. We're I'm flying the tractor boys flag.
All I'm saying, Mark, is it's just one win in I think six for them since we played them. So we broke them. Europa League, we've got favourites, English favourites in the Champions League. Well, English favourites in the Europa League. Liverpool 9-4 favourites. Next up, Bayer Leverkusen 11-2. AC Milan 10-1. Brighton 12-1. West Ham same price. Roma 16s. Bigger the rest. I don't think I've mentioned the side that you like the look of to go all the way in this tournament, Mark.
Yeah, Atalanta 25-1. If you have a look at their expected goals, that would suggest that being fourth in Italy is about right this season. They're in the semi-finals of the Coppa Italia. Just, you know, Gasperini, good coach. They are, I think, overpriced. They've got to buy like many of the top teams into the last 16. Also, we don't know who they're going to draw from that point onwards. But Italian teams have, I think, been doing quite well. You look last season, Inter reached the final of the Champions League. Fiorentina reached the final of the Europa Conference. So massively respect Liverpool at 9-4. The danger, I think, is that they're fighting on so many fronts. Just wonder where the Europa League fits into the grand scheme of things. For them, I would say that it's probably third or fourth on their list at the moment. Okay. And if the Premier League does get close, like, they'll have to go all out for that. And the Europa League will take a backward step. And yeah, I at 9-4, I'd rather back Man City to win the Champions League than Liverpool to win the Europa League.
Put them in a double, maybe?
I mean, I wouldn't put anyone off that, but I don't know. I just think Man City are a better bet than Liverpool at the same price.
Okay. Europa Conference League then. So English favourites in the Champions League, English favourites in the Europa League, English favourites in the Conference League as well. Aston Villa 3-1 to go all the way. Fiorentina 11-2. Eintracht Frankfurt 9s. Ajax 12s. Lille the same price. Real Betis also around about that. A fairly competitive market here, Mark. Who's your idea of the winner?
Well, Aston Villa are the rightful favourites, but I do wonder about them with the battle for the Champions League spots. might be considered more important than winning the Europa Conference League, because that obviously only gets you into the Europa League.
Yeah.
Unai Emery does very well as in European competition. So I do respect them. Just going through some of the other teams before I get to my tip. Fiorentina, not sure they're any better than last season. Weren't able to quite get over the line. So not sure why it'd be different this time around. Eintracht Frankfurt, their XG isn't great. I don't know. I can't put an argument up for them. I sort of fancy them a bit, but it wasn't one that I could actually stack an argument
More
for.
Of a gut feeling.
Yeah, gut feeling. Spanish teams tend to do well at this type of level, but Real Betis seems, I would say, are weaker than some of the other teams you usually get at this standard. Ajax have had a shocking season, but are starting to improve slowly and might outrun their 16-1 odds. But at 12-1, I like the look of Lille. Two defeats in their last 22 matches. And I'm having a look at sort of some of their performances. When they drew with PSG, they absolutely deserved that draw. Very close game on all of the kind of key metrics. Got Jonathan David up front, so real quality there. A bye to the next round, like most of the top teams as well. And yeah, just, I can see them having a good go at winning the Europa Conference League. Not sure that Aston Villa will be able to play absolutely their best 11 in the Europa Conference League, given the demands of the Premier League. And that always just makes me a bit nervous about the sort of Premier League teams. If you are rotating a couple out, and I'm not sure that Villa's squad is absolutely as strong as Unai Emery would want it to be. So, we could be in for an English treble, but I think I prefer to just go for sort of bigger prices in the outside the Champions League.
Yeah, I'm sure there'll be a few people having a treble. So Mark likes to look at Manchester City in the Champions League, Atalanta in the Europa League, and in the Europa Conference League, it's Lille around about 12-1. Let's get the best bets for this weekend. Mark, we shall start with a bet build. Everyone seems to enjoy these. So what's the one for this weekend?
I'm going to go for Man City to score in both halves against Everton. They've done so in five of their last six Premier League games. Going for Rodri to have a shot on target. He's had one in each of his last four games. And then Tarkowski over 1.5 fouls. He had two in the reverse fixture. Up against Haaland and all of those runners that City have got, it might, could be a difficult 90 minutes for the two centre-halves, him and Branthwaite. But both playing well, but might have to get a bit dirty.
Yeah, no easy task that. A treble for this weekend. What have we got?
Yeah, so it's an over 2.5 goals treble in the 3 o'clock Premier League games. There was a record Premier League goals last weekend, weren't there? 45 for a sort of a 10-game match week. So three or more goals in Luton against Sheffield United, Tottenham against Brighton, and Fulham against Bournemouth. I think I've made sort of the case in each of those individual games. And I do think the Premier League is quite gung-ho this season. The average is up, and last week's record might not be matched, but hopefully we can get at least three in each of those games.
Goals galore once more. And in the final section of the show, Mark, what's your nap? What's the best bet?
Man City -1. Everton, no away goal in their last three sort of road trips. City, as you referenced earlier on, Jack, looking ominous, 1-9 in a row across all competitions. And that includes tricky away games against Newcastle and Spurs, where they left it late, but thoroughly deserved those victories. Haaland's back, De Bruyne's back, Foden's on fire. Yeah, I think this is going to be a difficult 90 minutes for Everton.
Okay, Man City -1, the nap. There we go. That's things rounded off for this week, Mark. I must say, you do seem to begin to worry about your Ipswich bet. I think there's a nervousness in your voice when you approach the Championship at the moment.
Well, I mean, I want them to be promoted if they get to the playoffs. That's, I think, fair enough, really. I mean, still be beating the book with that. I mean, I don't think they're going to get swallowed up in the playoff picture. I'm every team has bad runs. They're just on their bad one at the moment. Signed a few new players, might just be needing a bit of time to gel.
And you have remembered our match bet, haven't you?
Yeah, I've already looked at the menu and decided what I'm eating.
There we go. What have you got planned for the rest of this week?
So Tottenham versus Brighton on Saturday. That's the highlight for me. It should be a good game.
The main event. Yeah, absolutely. A big thanks to Mark. A big thanks to Dan, as always. We'll be back next week for another episode of Mark Langdon's Bets Club.